Oh, it's good to see you again this Sunday. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. I'm glad to have a missionary guest with us this morning as well. And we praise the Lord together in all of this. And let's consider Isaiah 40, 12 through 14 as we start our time of worship together. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? The answer, of course, is no one. That is the God we worship this morning, the holy, holy, holy one. Let's bow our heads in reverence for a minute and pause and consider him before we start to sing. Amen. Thank you. It is good for us to stop and recognize, as all of us to varying degrees are so much in a hurry, but when it's time for church and worship, we cannot hurry. We must stop and pause. So let's stand and worship. Oh God, you're worthy of my praise. One, two, three, four. Guys first and ladies echo. And I will worship.
I will worship.
All of my heart.
All of my heart.
I will praise you.
I will praise you.
With all of my strength.
All my strength.
I will seek you.
I will seek you.
All of my day. Praise, O Lord. That's why we're here together to worship you, to lift our hands and our hearts, everything we've got, every ounce of energy, everything inside of us to praise you and to give you glory. We pray this morning that we would do so. Give us hearts of worship, hearts full of wisdom, hearts of response, Lord. Thank you so much for your love, and may it drive us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated. Philip, good job. I haven't done this song much. Just started it a little bit ago. And maybe you'll ask yourself, what am I going to do with my hands during this song? Susan will show you. Let's stand and let's make the most of it. May the peoples praise you.
Songs of praise, build lives of praise to sing.
the Lord Almighty, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. All creation, praise your glorious name.
Good job. Let's be seated.
We do have a missionary emphasis this morning. We have a guest speaker, which we'll introduce later. We want to make some other emphasis as it relates to missions this morning. And first of all, back on the table in the hallway, there is a 2 or 3 page that has all of the missionaries that we support listed, with their field of service, as well as their email, and the date that we begin to support them, and how much we support them per month. So if you would like that information, it is back on the table in the hallway. Help yourself to that. But it just gives all of the missionaries that we support, how much we support them per month, when we started that support, and also their field of service, their email. Certainly you can email them. They'd appreciate hearing from you. We encourage you to avail yourself to that information. 40% of our income as a church goes to missions. And some of that also, and on this sheet, is some mission agencies like Regular Baptist Chaplaincy, as well as a Baptist Children's Home. Some of our support goes to those kinds of things as well. I know some churches, when they talk about their missionary support, they kind of pad it. If you know what I mean. They kind of include everything that they don't know where else to put it under missions. We don't do that. Our local outreaches that we do right here in our community is not included in missions. Our missions is truly missionaries that we support and these agencies that we support, and about 40% of our income goes to that support. So when you give your offering this morning, understand that 40 cents out of every dollar you give is going directly to the support of missionaries or some mission agencies. And so we appreciate your giving, but we appreciate the opportunity God has given to us to take part in the Great Commission in that way through our financial support of our missionaries. So avail yourself to that if you would like that information. And as we consider missions this morning, I want to recognize a certain individual in our church who has served on our missionary committee for somewhere around 40 years. Now, I say somewhere around 40 years because when it comes to our elected officers, such as deacons, trustees, treasurers, and that kind of thing, we have very accurate records. When it comes to some of our committees, where the members of those committees are appointed, not so much. We don't have records so much that we just kind of, you know, they get appointed and they serve, and we look back through our records. We don't know for sure when Dave Newton was appointed to be part of the missionary committee, but it's been somewhere around 40 years. And last fall, Dave requested to step down from that position. And so this morning, we want to recognize that. So I'm going to go back and meet Dave back where he's seated. In case you're wondering, what does the missionary committee do? We meet together, and we are the ones that, as a missionary committee, recommend to the church. And by the way, You can turn around and look. You know, when I was growing up, my mom, if I as much as turn my head like this, turn around. I could not turn around in church, but you're allowed to at this point. But the missionary committee brings to the church recommendations as to what missionaries we would support, perhaps what agencies we might support. We try to keep tabs of our missionaries, what they're up to. We get annual reports from our missionaries. We don't necessarily hand out those annual reports to everybody, but the missionary committee gets those annual reports, see what our missionaries are doing, and just kind of keep tabs on them, what might be their needs, and how can we help them. So that's the job of the missionary committee. And as I said, Dave Newton has been part of that committee for somewhere around 40 years. He's stepped down now, but we want to recognize that. So, Dave, we have a gift card here so that you can take your wife to a restaurant. How does that sound? Sometimes we give plaques. Dave doesn't need another plaque hanging on his wall. But maybe he'd like to take his wife out for dinner. So this is a gift card to the Riverstone right across the river here. And we just want to recognize you, Dave, for your many years of service. Thank you so much. We appreciate... appreciate the wisdom you've given us over those 40 years just to help us as a church fulfill the Great Commission and to help us with our missionary activity. As I said, 40% of our income goes to missions, and you've been a big part of that, and we just want to thank you so much for that. It's good to have your son Eddie with us today to recognize that, and Pam is here as well, and one of your... Luke, all right, one of the children, Luke. But they're able to be here too, and we just appreciate that so much. So thank you. Lord bless you. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your grace and your goodness to us. We thank you, Father, for Dave and for his many years of serving us in this capacity as a church. We thank you for his faithfulness. We thank you, Father, for the wisdom that he has shown and the wisdom that he has displayed in helping us as a church in fulfilling that great commission, helping us as a church to come and help our missionaries in ways that... they need help, and I thank you, Father, that you have enabled us as a church to give towards missions and to help in the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we recognize that it's not just a matter of giving of our tithes and offerings, but it's also a matter of us as individuals being faithful and sharing the gospel with those around us as we would spread that gospel around the world. I pray that we would do so right here in our own Jerusalem, as well as to the uttermost parts. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you that we are able to just have this reminder with a missions emphasis today of the necessity of being faithful in our own witness, as we would then pray for our missionaries as they are faithful in their responsibilities wherever you have called them. And so, Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity just to be reminded of these truths and to worship you together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Holy, holy. lightning rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God.
Good job, kids. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. This praise team up here, the adults, they're out of business here very quickly. Mike's going to have to look for another job. Thank you. This past weekend was our men's retreat. So those who were on the men's retreat, you fellas, meet me up here on the platform right now. Make your way up. We're going to sing for you. That's become tradition for us. Whether you like it or not, we're going to sing for you this morning. It's a new song, one that we learned and one that Mike wants to teach to you, the congregation. I'm not sure how much you're going to learn from us singing it, but it'll be a start anyway. Eddie Newton was our speaker for the retreat and just really challenged us to look at the example of Christ as it relates to His compassion and His love for people, and of course to trust Him to do the seemingly impossible things that come into our lives, and especially in times of difficulties and times of trials that we can trust Him in that. So Eddie just took us to God's Word and opened God's Word with us in a very informal setting that we enjoyed very much. So and always part of that is big part of our men's retreat is our singing. Believe it or not, these guys can make some noise. I hesitate to call it singing, but they can make some noise. And that's a big part of our time together as well. So we're going to sing for you.
Thank you.
going on the road anytime soon, but we sing of God's mercy. Our sins, though they are many, His mercy is more, and praise God for that.
This next hymn is a real powerful hymn, and I trust that you'll sing it with all your heart. And can it be? What amazing love that it took to save our souls.
Said we have a missionary emphasis today in more ways than one, and but certainly because we have a missionary speaker with us today, Aruj Jugsujenda. He is going to Thailand with his wife Pat, and they are both from Thailand and going back as missionaries, and we're thrilled to have Aruj with us today just to hear how God has worked in his life to bring him to this point and their plans to go over to Thailand. So, Aruj, you come, open God's word to us, share with us what God's laid on your heart. It's great to have you with us this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Aruj Jugsujenda. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Hauser for having me here at Independent Baptist Church. It's going to be my first time here in Towanda. I just left Greenville, South Carolina yesterday morning, and this was a strange year for us in Greenville. There was no snow, and I told my wife, you know, I expected to see snow, and lo and behold, yesterday night, the fall just fell down. So I take some video, and I send to my wife. And well, I'm excited to be here this morning. I will be sharing from Matthew chapter 28, going to be the Great Commission, related to the Great Mission Field. And this evening, I have a PowerPoint presentation. It's going to be an introductory about the Thai people and Thai cultures. I have lots of slides about the temple, the monk, the Thai peoples. And I hope that many of you will gain a better understanding of the culture. Well, I just want to introduce to you a little bit about myself before I have a video, and I'm going to sing How Great Thou Art to You in Thai. I'm with the Biblical Ministry Worldwide, which is in Lawrenceville, Georgia, and my sending church is Grace Bible Church. It's also in Greenville. My pastor name is Pastor Tom Ross and Pastor Larry Sneed and Pastor Galen Smith. They are very happy and they are very excited to partner with us as we are heading back to our home country. Well, my mission goal is to plant a church in Bangkok. It's going to be a big city of 8.5 million people. Thailand is a Buddhist country, and we have very small percentage of Christianity there. It's going to be 0.58%. So you're talking about lesser than 1% Christians. That's why God put in me a burden and a desire to reach the Thai people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my wife couldn't be here this morning because she's still working full-time at the BJU print shop. I just resigned from working there at the BJU print shop on Friday. And they threw a farewell party for me. It was my last day. So what's going to be my next phase in my life? I'm going to be on full-time deputations. That means I'm going to be traveling more. So I'm seeing myself by this time next year to be in Thailand. Many people ask me, when do you want to go back to Thailand? I say, tomorrow. And so my heart desire is to go that quick. Well, before I begin my message this morning, I have a video that was put together by Biblical Ministry Worldwide people on my behalf. It's going to take about 2 minutes. Please enjoy.
We're so thrilled to have Arooj and Pat as part of our mission family. Our role, of course, is to help missionaries as well as churches that send them to get missionaries to the field. And we have taken a very close look at our relationship and wholeheartedly endorse what they're going to do as they go back to Thailand. We just count it a tremendous joy to be a partner with them and hope you will be as well.
Hello, my name is Steve Gibb, and I'm the area director in the Pacific region where we'll be working with Pat and Arooj in Thailand. It's been a delight to meet them at our candidate school, and their humble spirit, teachable heart has gone a long way in showing to us that they're going to do a great job planting churches in Bangkok. We're just looking forward to working together with them and serving them in every way possible.
Greetings, everybody. Dave Brown. I'm Director of Global Opportunities. I do a lot of training of missionaries, both in the U.S. and overseas. It has been a real pleasure to get to know Arooj and Pat and to see the way that God has wired them and uniquely gifted them for ministry in Thailand generally, but also in Bangkok. They really have a passion and a heart to reach the lost in the cities, a place that a lot of missionaries don't go. Obviously, they're already fluent in the Thai language. They know the Thai culture. They're familiar with American churches and American colleges, and therefore they're a unique blend of both cultures and are really well gifted and prepared from a theological standpoint to do some amazing ministry in Thailand. We would ask for your very careful and prayerful consideration partnering with them in ministry and being able to reap the benefits from a mutual ministry as the years roll forward. So we commend them highly to you.
David Brown, the last person, he was the one who put this video on our behalf. I praise the Lord. I'm here at Tawanda, and I couldn't stop to behold the glory and the wonder of God. And this morning, I want to sing to you in Thai, "How Great Thou Art." Praise the Lord. It's going to be "How Great Thou Art." If you turn with me this morning into Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to verse 20, the title of my message this morning is "Reaching the Thai People with the Gospel." Today we want to take a closer look into the scripture at what has been called the Great Commission. So I will read to you. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So shall we look together at this time to the Lord in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. You create the creations, the universe, the earth, and mankind. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that forgives us of our sin. and that you have crowned us with a crown of righteousness, and that we can stand before you justified, O Lord, with no guilt and no condemnations. And we thank you, Lord, for the eternal life that you have given to us in Christ Jesus' name. And above all, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for your written word that you have given to us so that we can know who you are and that what is your will for our life. And we thank you, Lord, for this message that we have reminded us that you command us to go into all the world and preach this good news to the uttermost part of the world. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So praise the Lord. And these words mean reaching the Thai people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore into all the nations. So praise the Lord that Thailand is the uttermost part of the earth. And God command us to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We believe in the triune God. We believe in the co-equal of the Godhead. There is one God. So my desire is to tell to the Thai people that there is one God who created the heaven and the earth. And by means of Christ, Jesus Christ's death on the cross, we can usher into the presence of God. I thank the Lord that at the age of 18, in 1985, October, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, there was a lady and a group of people was walking in front of a LSU Union Center, and they came and approached me and tell me the good news. And this lady approached me excitedly. She said, "God, who created the heaven and the earth, he loves you, and he wants to come into your heart." And I told her, "Sister, what must I do to be safe?" So she led me into this sinner prayer. I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. I confess my sin. I praise the Lord that Jesus Christ didn't only call me, save me, but he called me into the ministry. And God gave me a joy and a peace that I have longed for many, many years. I couldn't find in education. I couldn't find in religions. But I find this peace in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord that this morning all of you here have experienced this joy and peace. It's beyond understanding. And money cannot buy. It's a free gift. Whomsoever shall call upon the name of Christ shall be saved. I praise the Lord that I am saved. I praise the Lord that I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. And my life is never the same again. I want to tell this love of Jesus Christ to the Thai people, to the Buddhist people. That's why I'm here and speaking to you this morning. The country of Thailand is in the 1040 window, which is the term referring to the group of countries that have the highest concentration of unreached people. This is going to be the 1040 window. We have the Middle East, India, Thailand, China. So Thailand is in there. So Thailand is still considered to be an unreached mission field. So if you ask what is a mission field is a place where Christ is not named. Christ has not been named in Thailand. Christianity has been spread in Thailand for 200 years, but we still see a very small growth of Christianity in Thailand. We still see 0.58%, which is lesser than 1%, because there has often been a saying that to be a Thai is to be a Buddhist. You cannot be anything else, because if you converted from Buddhism to Christianity, the people will see that you are disloyal to the king, disloyal to the Thai culture. And it's not easy for a Thai person to accept Jesus Christ into their heart. That means they have to take a big risk in following Jesus Christ. There is a cost of following Jesus Christ in Thailand. It's not easy. So if one accepted Christ in Thailand, that means that they will receive persecution, not in terms of killing a mother, but that they will be marked as someone who abandoned their culture and religions. So Christianity has not been a name in the Thai society, has not penetrated into the Thai society. And most people don't know what is the Thai believer look like, the Christian believer look like. They heard about Christians, they heard about Jesus, but they see Jesus only in the movie. But they couldn't make that connection who Jesus is. So Thailand is still an unreached mission field. It's good that we ask this question, what is the Great Commission? I believe they have two dimensions of the Great Commission. The first one is to glorify God by making Christ-like disciples of all nations. And the second dimension is to glorify God by proclaiming the good news to all peoples. This is my heart cry. I want to go back to Thailand. I want to be involved in making disciples of Jesus. I don't want to only to reach them with the gospel and preach them the gospel and leave them undisciples. I want to bring them to Christ, and after that, I want to disciple them to be a Christ-like disciples. I believe Christianity is not only come to Christ and stop there just to go to heaven, but I believe the plan of salvation is that we, as a believer, should be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That means it takes efforts on our part. God has already done his part by sending his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. But our part is to partner with God. We must be willing and submissive to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He's not only our Savior, but he is also the Lord of our life. And we don't have this self-will center in our life, but Jesus Christ, he's the Lord of our life. So the task before us is not simply announcing the good news of Jesus Christ, but it is the making disciple for Jesus Christ. The verse that we read earlier, the phrase in verse 19, teach all nations, can also be translated to make disciples of all nations. Teach all nations, equated disciples of all nations. That means we have a great big challenge ahead of us to disciples of all nations, including the people of Thailand, to be disciples, discipler of Jesus Christ. So the focus then is not to preach the gospel, but is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. So the focus then is not upon going to all nations, on baptizing, or on teaching. It is upon the making of disciples. So as you go, you make disciples. I like to tell people that, you know, all of us are missionaries. My experience, because of the big city, in a big place like Bangkok, I will invite people out for coffee or lunch where they could easily come to briefly meet for discipleships and fellowships. I go to them. I don't wait them to go to me, but I go to them and I disciple them and I meet them. I believe the Biblical Ministry Worldwide Statement of Purpose has well summarized the task of the Great Commission. It stated, our purpose is to serve the Lord and the local churches by establishing, reproducing churches through evangelism, discipleship, and leadership training. I believe if we want to see a great harvest, the entirety of the Great Commission needs to be obeyed. We need to do evangelism. We need to do discipleships. And we should not neglect also leadership trainings. And this is what my goal is when I go back to Thailand. I want to be involved in evangelism, and I want to be involved in discipleship and leadership training in Thailand. I believe if I can do all these three things, I can reap the great harvest in Thailand. And some of the challenges in evangelizing to the Thai people. The first challenge in evangelizing to the Thai people is that the Thai people way of life is different from the Western culture and traditions. In my dissertation, in my paper, at Bob Jones. The title of my paper is A Manual for Evangelism and Discipleship Among the Middle Class Thai Buddhists for Christianity. I make this question, why there is a slow growth in Thailand? It is the failure on the part of the missionary that they haven't done their job. And my professor challenged me, could it be on the part of Thailand because the Thai people are very proud? So I make this conclusion in my paper that the Thai people are very proud of their rich cultural heritage, their monarchy, and the fact that Thailand has never been colonized by Western powers. Many neighboring countries of Thailand, many of them have been colonized by Western power, except Thailand. Thailand used to be named until 1936 as Siam, but the king, Bhumibol, the ninth king, he was born here in Massachusetts in America. So he wanted to turn Thailand to be a modern state. So he changed the name from Siam to Thailand. So Thailand has become a very modern state. And it has been often been said that to be a Thai is to be a Buddhist. You cannot be anything else. You cannot be a Thai. If you're not a Thai, that means you are not Thai. It's very hard to see people to come to Christ because, you know, you got to be a Thai. And the Thai people perceive Christianity is a religion of Westerners. And they don't feel a need to change to another religion. And the Thai people perceive that all religion leads to the same destination. Whether you're Buddhist, you're Muslim, or you're Christian or Catholic, they believe that all religions is leading to the same destinations. And the Thai people see that all religion teach people to be good and do good things. Thai religions is a religion of work. You gotta earn your salvation, to earn your salvation. But in Christianity, it's a free gift. You don't have to do anything. We cannot earn our salvations. It's through the gift of Jesus Christ that he has offered to us. The second challenge in evangelizing to the Thai people is the misunderstanding of Christian terminology typically used by missionary. For a Thai person, you know, a Christian term such as salvation, born again, and have a different connotation altogether than they do here in the West. The Thai people don't have the word for sin, salvation like that. Many missionaries, when they come to Thailand, their gospel presentation are mainly focused on sin, salvation, and God. But most Thai people don't have a biblical concept of a personal sin or of God. So Thai Buddhists define sin as an act of bad behavior. They define sin as an act of bad behavior. They believe that the primary problems of human being does not lie in sinful human nature inherited from Adam and Eve, but they believe that it's going to be from wrong deeds or bad karma. The Thai people see themselves as good people because they say to themselves, they never commit adultery, they never go to jail, they never commit a murder, so they see themselves as a good person. But the Bible teaches us that when we are born, we are conceived with this sinful human nature because we inherited from Adam and Eve. So it's passed on from generation and generation. And Thai Buddhists define God as a law of karma, cause and effect. The Thai people believe that God is only the natural law. It's static, it's fixed nature that governs the heavens and the earth. And the Thai people reject the concept of a personal God. So people ask me, what is Buddhism? Buddhism is really agnostic, no God. And even worse than that, they become atheists. They're not agnostic, don't believe in God, but also they are against God. They reject the concept of a personal God. They have this understanding that why they're suffering in the world. If there is a good God, why they're suffering in this world? So they come to this conclusion, because there is suffering in this world, this God must not be a good God. He must be a bad God. If he is a good God, there won't be suffering in the world. Since there's suffering in the world, this God is a bad God. So they reject the concept of a personal God. There's no God. God is only that governs the heavens and the earth. And Thai Buddhists define salvation as doing good deeds by one's own strength. Thai Buddhist concept of salvation is achieved by man effort. It's going to be a man effort in reaching salvation by their own strength through self-meditations and self-discipline. You see, the monk, they meditate hours and hours. But you know, in Buddhism, only Buddha himself claimed to experience enlightenment. And none beside him, after him, claimed to reach enlightenment. Nirvana is a form of meaning of salvation and heaven. Because the Thai people believe in a rebirth and reincarnations. You got to have a good karma in this life if you want to be born in the form of deities. You want to have a good karma in this life if in the next life you want to be born as a good, decent, and well-to-do person. They believe that if you accumulate bad karma in this life, in the next life you will be born as a lower form of animals. So karma is penetrated, you know, in every sector of Thai societies. So what did the Bible tell us about sin? The Bible states that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is portrayed in Scripture as falling short of the glory of God, as a wandering sheep going astray. Sin brings hideous results, affecting not only our relationship with God, but it's also affecting our relationship with one another. That's why we see murder. That's why we see abortions. We see bad news all the time. It's all because of sin, because man has turned themselves against God. Whenever man turns himself against God, you will see all this chaos all around us. The Bible tells us that God is the creator of all things. In Genesis 1:1, God is the creator of all things. I believe in witnessing effectively to the Thai people, we must begin with the concept of God. Not from the concept of Jesus, but from the concept of God. Because the Thai people have zero or minus zero understanding of God. So before you talk about sin or Jesus to the Thai people, you want to talk to them and witness to them about the concept of God, especially from the Old Testament story in Genesis 1 and in Genesis 2, the story of God's creations, when God created the earth, the land, the water, the sky, and mankind. All of this thing didn't happen by chance. A random chance is by creations. God breathed into man. Man be formed from dust. And God breathed into man's nostril. And man became a living soul. So I want to tell to the Thai people, we're not here by chance, but it's by creations. God created man. It's not by evolutions, but it's by creation, direct act of God. And the Bible tells that salvation, Christian salvation, comes only through believing in the word of God through Christ. In Genesis 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to say this into Thai. เพราะว่าพระเจ้าทรงรักโลกจนได้ประทานพระบุตรองค์เดียวของพระองค์เพื่อทุกคนที่วางใจในพระบุตรนั้นจะไม่พินาศแต่มีชีวิตนิรันดร์ So God's love was clearly demonstrated at Calvary when Jesus Christ died for all our sins. So whomsoever shall call upon the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. So salvation is found in Christ's sacrificial death on a cross, apart from a good person, good deeds, or merits. We cannot earn our salvation. So I want to tell to the Thai people, they cannot earn their salvation. No matter how they put to the temple, no matter how much they give to the monk, they cannot earn their salvation. It's only through Christ alone. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Muhammad. But there's only one way to heaven. Is that through Jesus Christ. You see, many people in Thailand, they are Buddhists. And when they hear the gospel preached, they want to accept Jesus Christ in their life, not because they want to accept him as Savior, as Lord, but they want to add Jesus to their God. They believe that if they have Buddha and other Hindu God, and on top of that, they add Jesus to their God, they believe they will receive more protections. They will be more powerful. But I want to tell to the Thai people, you cannot do that. You got to turn away from all the false God. You got to turn away from the all false belief. And you got to turn to Jesus Christ only. He's my Lord and my Savior. And there is no other God except Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way and salvation to the Thai people. So I want to make this conclusion from Acts chapter 17, an altar to the unknown God. The Apostle Paul was ministering during his second missionary journey in Athens. And he observed among the objects of worship an altar to the unknown God. So in Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 20, I will read to you and you can follow me as I read. And then Paul stood in the midst of the Mar hills and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are very religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with inscriptions to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorant worship. With him declare I unto you, God who made the world and all things in it, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hand, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he need anything, seeing he giveth to all life, he breath and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if perhaps they might feel him after him and find him, and though he is not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like God, is like gold and silver and stone, carved by art of man and device." So the God in Buddhism is made from stone and from wood. They have eyes but see not. They have ears to hear, but they hear not. And the people, they are devotees to Buddha. They worship him day and night to earn favor. But they have ear, they cannot hear. Eye cannot see. They cannot answer to the prayer. But praise the Lord, we have our Father. We have access to the throne room of grace through Jesus Christ. And we can rest assured that if we pray to God, our Heavenly Father, he cares for us and he hears for us. So the people in Athens, they were worshiping an unknown God. They don't know what they're worshiping at. It's estimated there were about 30,000 idols in Athens. Just imagine how many idols in Thailand. Thailand has become the world center of Buddhist activities and study. If you want to learn about Buddhism, you got to go to Thailand because it's a center. And idols is all over the land. But praise the Lord that Paul used this opportunity to preach concerning the true God that they didn't know. So Paul took this observation of their religious worldview, and Paul used it as a starting point, the altar to the unknown God. So I want to tell to the Thai people, the idols that you don't know, actually there is a God of heaven who created the heaven and the earth. And because of Paul's clear presentation of the gospel, who God is, what is sin, and what is man. So I want to go back to Thailand. I want to present a clear gospel message that there is a God, that man is a sinner, and that there is only one way of salvation to God, that is through Jesus Christ. Because of Paul's clear presentation of the gospel, it's challenged Athenians to respond appropriately. So in like manner, I want to see this kind of response happening to the Thai people, that they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior after having heard the clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my conclusion in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, we are reminded and we must remember that our mission is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. I believe we must remember that in presenting the gospel message to the Thai Buddhists, we must realize that we are dealing with spiritual darkness in the culture, worldview, and belief system that is deeply rooted, deeply embedded in the foundation of Thai Buddhism. But we praise the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus Christ gave himself to deliver us from this present evil age. And this evil age is the age when Satan is given the power to deceive and to destroy. The Bible said, "The Satan cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus Christ come to give life and give it more abundantly." So Thailand has been under the stronghold of Satan, of Buddhism, for thousands of years, and they are blind. They cannot see the truth. But I believe the only answer is prayer. And the second one is prayer. And the third one is prayer, that God will open up the eyes so they can understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world are in spiritual darkness, and only Christ can give them the true light. So that Jesus Christ is the only answer for the people of Thailand, and the same here in America. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, "In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The Bible said the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And this evil one has given the power to deceive and destroy. And the God of this world has blinded the mind of the people to keep them from seeing the true light. I believe the Thai people, you know, they cannot come to salvation, to the understanding of God by their own self without a special work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that when we pray, the Holy Spirit will move in their heart, and the Holy Spirit will bring regenerations, and that they can call Abba, Father, to God. So the gospel is the light that is shined into our heart to see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray constantly for Thailand, that the light of the gospel will shine in darkness, and the people who sit in darkness, in a stronghold under the domain of Satan, and one day they will see this great light shine unto them. I believe Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. Jesus Christ can come at this moment, at this moment, anytime. Martin Luther, you know, he preached his best. He said that, "I preach as though Christ will come today, but I plan for a lifetime for the spreading of the gospel. But when I preach as though Christ will come tonight, today. So I repent. I say, Lord, are you ready for the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ? I believe the gospel ministry also need prayer. Pray for open doors of ministry. Colossians 4:3. Meanwhile, he praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bond. So the Apostle Paul made it clear that he doesn't pray for an open prison door. He didn't pray for that, but he prayed for an open door of ministry. I believe our chief purpose on earth, here on earth, is not to get rich or to be well-to-do, but I believe solely our main purpose on earth here is to further the kingdom of God, to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. So the Thai mission field is already ripe for harvest. The Thai people are becoming more open and receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this door is swung open in Thailand because there's no persecution in Thailand. But we don't know when the time that will come whether this door will be shut. But the door of opportunity, gospel opportunity, is swung open in Siam, in Thailand. And my burden is to see revivals, that we see hundreds and thousands of people come to Christ, just like it's happening in the Muslim world, in Iran. I believe it can happen also in Thailand, in the land of Siam. Pray for an open door of ministry. And lastly, pray for more workers. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the workers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth workers into his harvest. So Jesus Christ made it clear that the calling and sending of missionary is primary the word of God. But our primary task is to pray that God will call and send people into the mission field. I pray that from Independent Baptist Church, from among our midst, that God will send people into the uttermost part of the world. And I believe God will richly bless you, as he has done to you even now. So we can rest assured, if we pray, God will send people after his choosing. But we must remember that God is the Lord of the harvest, and we are his worker by his grace. I praise the Lord that God, he can choose anyone, but God, he chose me to go back to Thailand. Because of my education at Bob Jones, I can live here in the state. I can live with a good house and good salary, but I choose not to stay here, but I choose to return back to my people to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to end with a quote of David Livingstone. He's a well-known missionary to Africa. And his quotes say like this: God, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. And sever any tie in my heart, except the tie that binds my heart to yours. Can we say like David Livingstone, pray to God: God, send me anywhere. At the age of 18, God saved me. And God put a burden and a fire to return back to Thailand. At the age of 23, I went back to Thailand with no Bible educations. I don't have much money, but I have a heart. So I went to Thailand. I was involved in church planting. I would preach in the marketplace. I would preach in the head-right intersections. I would hand out tract, knocking doors on people's houses. I would tell them the good news. But in 2010, I came to the state with one purpose in mind. I want to get the highest theological Bible training in America. And I say to God, Lord, if I finish my education here, I will go to Thailand. I want to be a blessing to the Thai people. I want to be involved in church planting and training the national in Bangkok. Not only in Bangkok, but also around Thailand and the neighboring country of Thailand. I want to offer Thailand and neighboring country of Thailand to the glory of God. So should we look to the Lord in prayer again? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your word that has reminded us of the great commissions. And I pray that you will bless us until we come again tonight and hear the PowerPoint presentation of the Thai people and the Thai culture. And I give you praise and honor. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Thank you, Aruj. Thank you for sharing your heart and your burden for the Thai people and just reminding us the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That includes the Thai people. It includes your neighbor. It includes your coworker. We need to share the gospel with them. It is the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. Father, we thank you so much for our time together this morning. Thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your power. Indeed, we cannot in our own strength and in our own power save ourselves, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is your power unto salvation. Pray for Aruj and his wife Pat as they continue on their deputation to raise the support to go back to Thailand. We pray, Father, that you would indeed give them a door of utterance to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. You to come back tonight. Our communion service is at 5:30, and then at 6 o'clock, Aruj will be sharing with us again his ministry in Thailand. Shall we stand together? Father, we're so grateful for our time together this morning, again reminded of your love in sending your Son to die for us. We thank you, Father, that we are able to rejoice in that this morning, but help us to be reminded to share that love with others in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Morning, may God bless you.